covering this week and perhaps next week, kind of the elephant in the room people have asked me about, some of the great battles about printing, publishing in the 19th century. There are the two most famous battles. Rabbi Chilya Yaakov Weinberg summarizes the whole business very nicely in a Truman History Deish. The most famous one was the battle between the Slavita Press and the Vilna Press, the Brothers Rum, the Widow Rum, about the Shas. And the other battle, a little bit less well known, was about the Redelheim Machzor, the Machzor of Rav Wolf Heidenheim. A little bit of background on these two stories. The Slavita Press was a very successful in its time. Today, the editions are not really extant anymore, but in its time, it was quite a successful publishing house of various varim, most notably a Shas. They went through four different editions of four printings of their Shas. This was a Hasidic publishing house. It was run by a family called Shapiro. They were active in Russia and Poland. They printed several editions of a Shas in the early 19th century. During the fourth edition, the Vilna Publishing House, printers in Vilna, along with partners in Horodna, began to publish a competing Shas. This was the Vilna Shas that eventually was the basis. It was very, very successful. It was the basis for all later Shasses down until today. You see, Shas Vilna is the standard Shas we all use. It was, by all accounts, an excellent job for its time, and still today is the basis of our Shas. There was, however, an extremely bitter dintura that spread throughout Europe about their printing, because the printers of Slavita, the Shapiro brothers and their supporters, they had gotten cherims against anybody else printing a Shas for certain periods. Now, they had gone through, as I said, four printings, and apparently the cherims that had been given for the first printing had already lapsed, but they had gotten repeated cherims on the subsequent printings, and those may have still been enforced. There was a tremendously complicated dintara that spread throughout Europe. It became something of a battle between Hasidim and Misnagdim. The Shapiros and their supporters were the Hasidic Rabbanim in Russia and Poland. The Litvish Rabbinate was split. Some of them supported Slavita, some supported Vilna. Eventually, Vilna did win and continued with its publishing and was successful and eclipsed the Slavita. But it was a tremendously controversial battle while it lasted. Rabbi Kveger, some Sefer, and the Maran Bennett, were in this battle, were all on the same side. They were all on the side of Vilna, of the Misnagdim in Vilna. And the Hasidim were very angry at Rabbi Kveger and Rabbi Shlomo Eger, his son, who apparently had supported Vilna. They felt, some of the argument had a very modern flavor to it. They said, Rabbi Kveger is very old, they said, and he's being misled by his son, who manipulates him, Rabbi Shlomo Eger. They started spreading scurrilous rumors about Rabbi Kveger and his unreliability. Rabbi Kveger was very unhappy. Rabbi Kveger was widely known as being a major anav. You can see that throughout Rabbi Kveger's work. But occasionally he put his foot down when he felt Kavanat Torah was being infringed. And according to one story, he said, I'm mochel my kavod, but you, Rabbanu Shlolem, you should not be mochel yours. And my son's kavod, I'm not mochel b'shum ofen. And something terrible apparently happened to the Slavita publishers. They came to ask him for mechila. At one point, when they asked him for mechila, they still weren't totally giving in to him, so they said, we understand that we experienced a terrible tragedy because of Kavanat Torah of you, but what about us? We also have Torah. What about our Kavanat Torah? So Rabbi Kveger said, in dem dar, Kavanat Torah is ich. But he wasn't listening to this. I don't know if I managed the Yiddish quite correctly, but basically Rabbi Kveger was insisting that they had no right to insult him and disregard him like this. In any event, it was a terrible tragedy. I don't know if this is the tragedy in question or not, but at one point there was a terrible affair where one of the workers of the Slavita Press was found hanged. Apparently it was a suicide, but people claimed to the authorities that they had killed him because he was informing on them to the government, which of course, al pi halacha, they might have had a right to do as a moser, but in any event, they got in terrible trouble. Their printing house was shut down and terrible things happened. Anyway, this was a major machlokas all across Europe. We're not actually going to be covering any of the tshuvas that deal with this affair in particular, although this is the most famous publishing debate probably in Jewish history. Nevertheless, in this particular debate, Rabbi Kveger, the Chasam Sofer, the Maran Bennett were apparently all on the side of Vilna. A debate in which they were not on the same side was the Redelheim Machzor. The Redelheim Machzor was an edition of the Machzor printed by Rav Wolf Heidenheim. You can see in some machzarim, I think, the Machzor Mefurish of Rabbi Weingarten, popular machzor today, often quotes Reish Vav Hey on the bottom, that stands for, I believe, Rav Wolf Heidenheim. He published a kind of scientific critical edition of the Machzor. He did a tremendous amount of work with manuscripts, he corrected mistakes, he translated into German, he had a commentary, a very scholarly, excellent job of the Machzor. And this Heidenheim was someone who was in good graces with the Frum community. You'll see some of the Chasam Sofer's Tshuvas refers to him as a great Talmud Chacham, great scholar. And he produced a masterpiece of a Machzor, which was vastly superior to the standard editions of Machzorim that had been around before. Some other printer in Derenport, another city in Europe, just began to copy his Machzor with his commentary, with his translation. In the case of the Shas is public domain. It was around for a couple of thousand years. The Machzor, they actually took Heidenheim's work and began to publish it on their own. And Rabbanim here split on whether they were allowed to do this or not, in spite of Charamim that Heidenheim had gotten to give him the exclusive right to the Machzor. Here, Maram Bennett was lenient again. Here, the Chasam Sofer was not so lenient, was not happy with the lenient view. And again, as you'll see in many of the Tshuvas this week, Chasam Sofer in general was much stricter on the matter of the Haskamas. And these are the Tshuvas we're doing this week, a series of Tshuvas back and forth between the Chasam Sofer and Rav Mordechai Bennett. Rav Mordechai Bennett was roughly a contemporary of the Chasam Sofer. They both lived in the late 18th century, early 19th century. These Tshuvas are basically being written in the 20s or 30s mostly. The Maram Bennett died, I think, about 10 years before the Chasam Sofer. According to one account I saw, the Chasam Sofer said about him that he was like a Ben Yachid to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rav Mordechai Bennett. Very distinguished Talmud Chacham at his time, not as well known as the Chasam Sofer, obviously. In any event, the basic debate they had at length was that the Maram Bennett was much more laissez-faire, much more permissive about printing. He was much more reluctant to issue Haskamas. Chasam Sofer was much more enthusiastic, was much more aggressive about issuing Haskamas. And they debated for or against Haskamas, Charamim in particular, they debated at great length. Chasam Sofer felt that Charamim should be given, protection should be given to the initial printers, and Rav Mordechai Bennett felt that in general they should not. They argued about a half dozen different points, as you'll see from the Tshuvas, back and forth. It's actually worth noting that in the end of the Maram Bennett's Tshuva, in his Parashas Mordechai, his Sefer, he writes that he himself used to be more in favor of giving Haskamas, and he got in deep, deep legal trouble. He says once he tried to block a printer from printing a book because of Haskamas, the Charamim and Haskamas that had been taken out by the first printer, and he told the second printer, you can't do this, and he showed him the Charamim. The printer dragged him into court, he says, and he had to stand all day facing a terrible indictment by the court. He says he had to stand Lariv, Miboker, Vad Erev, Dibre like Kushers. They considered him a Marid B'Malchus, that the government was very upset that he was infringing on, that the government apparently charged the printer's licenses, as you'll see from some of the Tshuvas, and the government cared very much that people not interfere with its prerogatives about who to allow printing and who to not allow printing, and the Jews shouldn't be telling people what to do. So the Maram Bennett says he got into a great deal of trouble for this, and he only got off by what he calls a Pesha Aser, who a Pesha Hitzer, by settling with the government that he would stop telling people not to print Svarim, and then he stopped doing it. So I think I heard some people have argued that a lot of his anti-Charam position was influenced by his trouble with the government. It's difficult to say that because he makes detailed and lengthy halachic arguments eloquently in Biyun and Bekiyus Rav against Haskamas. Although in this tshuva he says that he used to do it until he got in trouble from the government. That's just a historical fact in terms of his career. But in any event, he was strongly against Haramim in general, and the Chasam Sofer was much more in favor. They argued about a number of things, about a half dozen different points. They argued about the question of whether, as we just discussed, whether this is considered interfering with the government shelo kedin. Maram Bennett argues now that the government has an interest in printing and regulates printing, we should leave it to them to decide who can print what. We shouldn't get involved. Chasam Sofer says the government doesn't really care. They just want their licensing fees. We can tell people what to do. And they argued back and forth about whether this was considered an inappropriate encroachment on a government prerogative. They argued about rabbinic authority, b'chlal, do the rabbanim of one city or of one country have the right to impose their will on the printers of another country? The scope of rabbinic authority was being debated too. Chasam Sofer has a very innovative idea where he argues that this is not a cheirim that we innovate from scratch. This is really based on an ancient cheirim that was made a long time ago, binding in all Klal Yisrael. We activate it for each book because we have to decide whether that cheirim should be activated on a specific printing of a specific book. But once we do, we're not creating a new cheirim, we're extending an old cheirim. They argued whether the printers need protection. They argued based on factual questions whether the Svarim were popular enough to for printers to risk investing money on their own or not. Maron Bennett felt printers will print. They argued on the halachs of Yared Lomnus, whether the various rules, as we've seen many times, the grandfather of all tshuvas on this topic is the tshuva of the Ramah about the printing of the Rambam by the Maron Padova and the other Catholic printer. And they argue about how to apply the Ramah to contemporary times. They argued about many things, several generations back and forth. You mentioned to me that we're starting kind of in media res, in the middle of a discussion here. So it's true, I did not print some of the previous tshuvas. The one long tshuva of the Parashas Mardechai, of the Maran Bennett, which he wrote regarding the Red Elheim Machzor, I did not print. It's about 3 pages, and it's quite complicated. In any event, you'll see him referring to his tshuva to the Rav of Derenport. That was a long tshuva he wrote explaining why he felt there was generally no issue of a Sagas Gvul on printing, why there was generally no right for Rabbanim to impose a cheirim on other printers. That's the tshuva where he expresses his primary opposition to Haskamas, although in these shorter tshuvas, which I've copied, you'll see he refers to that and he reiterates his objection to the Haskamas in general. So as you said, some of these tshuvas are about the Red Elheim Machzor. The first tshuvas we're seeing this week in the Chasam Sofer, those were apparently about some other sefer. There was an additional wrinkle there in that this was apparently a reprint of an old sefer, Svarim of Torah the Rishonim. That was more like the case of the Shas. It wasn't original work. Original work, the Maran Bennett is much more inclined to think, does deserve protection. If someone is Mechadish, his own sefer, and prints it, Maran Bennett is much more willing to grant protection. Nevertheless, in the case of the Red Elheim Machzor, even though Rabbi Heidenheim had invested a lot of time and effort and scholarship and coming up with a masterpiece of a new Machzor, nevertheless, still, Maran Bennett was not so inclined to give him protection because he said, look, what's happening now? The old Machzorim are not being sold because they're vastly inferior to the new Machzor. So if we don't let printers print the new Machzor and there is no market for the old Machzor, we've essentially taken away the right of printing Machzorim Bechlal from printers. And Machzorim is a very lucrative business. The same thing with ArtScroll that we have today. ArtScroll makes most of its profit from the Sidurim. Everything else is pretty much, I don't know about the Shas, but most of their Svarim are loss leaders. They don't do that well at other Svarim. The Sidur is a major cash cow, and that allows them to run their business. Apparently something similar was true. Maron Bennett explains in the Tshuva I didn't photocopy that the Machzorim were the big profit centers. That they were bought by everyone. A lot of the Svarim, they point out, were mainly for specialists. A lot of the Svarim, especially the Tshuva Svarim, these Svarim, they weren't bought by the typical layman. He bought maybe a basic Shas and a basic Shulchan Aruch, maybe there was a market for, but and of course, the Durim and Machzorim were very popular. But most of the Svarim were much more limited in their market, so the Machzorim were very important, and Rav Wolf and the Maron Bennett felt that taking away from the printers the right to print Machzorim would be kneecapping their business. It would be impossible to be a printer if some of your most basic, most lucrative, most popular works you're being deprived of. So therefore, he says, Rav Wolf Heidenheim, even though he made a new and improved Machzor, if we're going to say nobody can print his Machzor and there is no market for the old Machzor anymore, he says, so basically that's it. You're telling printers they have to shut down. You're depriving them of far too much of their basic market, of their basic profit making opportunities, and that is not fair. So these are the basic tshuvas. As I said, the biggest argument, as you mentioned a few weeks ago, was the Slavita Vilna fight. That we don't actually have represented in these tshuvas. I don't think so, not directly. So as I said, most of these tshuvas refer to either the Red Elheim Machzor and various other svarim, and we'll see the various arguments for and against the Haskamas of the Chasam Sofer and of Maran Bennett.